Many entrepreneurs are high achievers. We work hard, we go above and beyond, we care deeply about the work we do, whether it's for ourselves or for others. So when things don't go as planned or are even outside of our control, we can sometimes feel like we're failing. Today's guest is PaperCamp alum, Alyssa Manolais, who makes and sells hand-illustrated greeting cards and gifts through her brand, Gray Street Paper. Prior to running her business full-time, Alyssa worked as a fashion designer in New York, a job that she was great at. She was climbing the corporate ladder, earning more money, gaining titles, but despite being excellent at her job, she was furloughed and then laid off in 2020. On today's episode, we're talking about the mental shift of moving from corporate to entrepreneurship. Alyssa candidly shares how she felt like a failure when she was let go from her corporate job and how she had to carefully work through the grief tied to that. She also shares how she came out better on the other side with a profitable, thriving business that allows her to make a bigger impact. Alyssa also shares the methods that she's using to work towards her goal of 500 wholesale accounts and why PaperCamp was the best investment that she's made in herself and her business. Today's episode is brought to you by our Is Wholesale Right For You private podcast. You can gain free access to this audio series. It's on demand. You can access it at any time by going to proofedaproduct.com/privatepod. This 12-part audio series will help you decide whether wholesale is a good next step for your specific business. And the best part, you can binge it in less than an hour. So after listening to this audio series, two things will be true. You'll know whether you want to pursue wholesale for your product business, and two, you'll have the confidence and action steps to get started with wholesale. So you can sign up for that Is Wholesale Right For You private podcast at proofedaproduct.com/privatepod. That's proofedaproduct.com/privatepod. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Alyssa, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, it's great to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So let's kick this off by giving us a little background. How did you start your business and what do you sell?
Okay, so it actually started in 2016 and there's been a lot of variations to it. So I did start with art prints. And then in 2016, I had moved to New York or moved back to Connecticut and moved in with my mom and my grandma. And I've always had stationery in my life. So my grandma used to keep a box of greeting cards. So whenever there's an occasion, she would pull one out and be able to write one. And then my mom would always give one to me, like for Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween. She still sends me 2 to 3 different cards on my birthday. So when I had moved back in with them, I realized I had a corporate job, but I realized that it wasn't enough. It wasn't fulfilling. Like I was good at my job, but it just wasn't fulfilling. And then, since my grandma loves greeting cards, I designed an Easter one for her. So a Greek Easter card just for her. And she loved it so much. And it made her so happy that I was like, okay, I think that I should work on this, but I still have my full-time job. And then in 2019, I jumped into my first trade show without knowing anything. And then
me too, girl, me too. Just 10 years
and I thought, then I met Joe from XOU that introduced me to PaperCamp. And then that led me to where I am now, which is Gray Street Paper. And I sell greeting cards and different gifts, pens, pencils, stickers, mostly illustrated like funny animals and in people clothes.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like this was more of a creative outlet for you at the start, something that you enjoyed doing on the side. It brought your grandma joy. It brought you joy. And did you go into it with the intent, like, I do want to make this a business, or did you kind of think it would be a side hustle always?
So it was definitely always a side hustle at the beginning. I was always focused on my career, like being
Right.
successful. I had this degree in fashion design, so I wanted to, use it and grow. But on the other side, it wasn't fulfilling. So that side hustle eventually, one day I woke up and decided I'm going to do a trade show, not knowing anything about them or what I was doing. I just
Right.
decided I was
That
going to
was
go for it.
clearly a turning point from side hustle to like legit, because you don't do a trade show on a whim. I mean, you did and I did, so I guess we do. But like my point is just it's a big commitment, and to start selling wholesale and to invest in a show like that, not just the financial investment, but the time, the energy, all of it, that's a big deal. So that sounds like it was kind of a turning point and like, okay, I'm going to take this from just like a side gig to making it more of an established brand and product line. You shared with me previously that you were laid off from your corporate job in 2020. I would love to just kind of hear what you were thinking in that moment or at that time. Were you excited to take your business full time? Were you nervous, anxious, kind of a mix of all of it?
Yeah, so 2020, I was brand new. So 2019 was really my first year in wholesale. So I had a couple accounts and I was just like really going the slow route of building the business after taking paper camp and everything. And then 2020 happened. I was so career focused. Like I had that version of success in my mind that in order to be successful, you need a really high salary. You need to grow on the corporate ladder. So even though I had my business, I was still in my mind like working towards those goals. So I actually, right before the pandemic, I had sat down with a director from another department. So I had sat down with a director from another department and was discussing my career. And it was literally the week before the pandemic. And we were talking about how I can grow, how to get a raise, what to do for my next quarterly review or yearly review. And then the pandemic happened.
Oh
So
my
all
gosh.
of that just came crashing down. I was furloughed at first in April. And then even then, I didn't even know what to do with my business. I was just rolling with the punches, like,
Yeah.
what, and then I was finally laid off in August of 2020. And it was like I had called my fiance, I told him what happened. He came home for lunch. We went out for a beer. And then the next week was my birthday, and he gave me a birthday card and said, you can use this time to figure out what you want to do. If you want to go back to work and go back to the corporate world, you can do that. But if you want to try your business and build that, go ahead and do that. So I was lucky enough to like have that time to decide what to do rather than
Yeah.
having to jump back into one or the other. So I did take the time to, clear my head and really figure out what I wanted to do. 'Cause even during the time that I was furloughed, I was kind of going through the stages of grief
I'm
and
sure.
of, being furloughed, losing a job, and finally going through all of those stages, which took a very long time. At the end of 2020 is when I started taking the business seriously again. But going through those stages and the loss of the job and trying to like figure out what I wanted to do, I guess pushed me to go towards the business side. And everything kind of fell into place.
I appreciate you being so candid about this because, as someone that was in corporate for 20 years, while I was building up my side businesses and eventually going full time as an entrepreneur, you already mentioned that like the goals or the milestones in corporate towards success are very different than what we experience as entrepreneurs. And you alluded to, I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder. I'm talking to department heads about my future here. And, that is a path for our career. And it is something that is very ingrained in all of us at least it was for me from a young age. I saw my parents working their way up through the corporate world, my mother like taking leadership positions. And I am curious, I was just having a conversation with one of my advisory board members about this, of like the mental shift and the mindset shifts that have to happen when we have had a corporate career and then we shift to being an entrepreneur. And it sounds like you went through a lot of the same things that my client's going through a little bit, and some of the same things I went through, where it was like having to adjust my definition of success, having to adjust how I was defining my own identity as someone that was, you know, smart and capable and good at my other job, but yet is this something I wanted to continue? Because you described those stages of grief. So I just wanted to kind of bring this back around to say, as someone that also was in corporate for a very long time, I understand why you went through those stages of grief. And I think for some people that may be a shorter time span, for some, it might be a longer time span, but also it sounds like because you were furloughed and then eventually laid off, it was also kind of dragged out where it was out of your control. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, it was like a waiting game of what I was going to do. And I actually, my definition of success, my mom always tells me, like, I don't know where you got that from. All I've ever told you is I want you to be happy. And I don't know if it's like the media or TV, but that definition of success was just like, and I still go through what that is, like dealing with that, if I'm successful or not. But going from, you know, salary is successful and titles are successful, and then realizing, well, you're running a business, like you're running a six-figure business that you grew by yourself, no loans, like just doing it all yourself. That's success too. So
it's huge success, Alyssa. It's huge. And it should be recognized. But I guess this is my point, right? Like in the corporate world, we're looking at salary and titles. In the entrepreneur world, we are the head honcho. We are the boss. Our decisions are what's going to drive revenue and other decisions. And you have done that now, and you're continuing to do it every day, and you're setting new bars for yourself to hit too. So I just want to applaud you on that. And I know that was a tough time in your personal life and your career and everything like that. So I appreciate you sharing so candidly on that. I would love to talk about your wholesale journey a little bit more. Can you tell us about when you landed your first national retailer? Like, how did you do that? How did the conversation start?
I can't even remember if I had submitted to them or they just found me. I know I had submitted some stuff, but what they purchased was, I don't even think I submitted it. So they had just emailed me, and this was at the end of 2020. So this is while I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing
in the midst of
of everything. Yeah. And they had just happened to contact me, and I was like, is this real? And then it just went from there, and I've been supplying to them, I mean, I guess since the end of 2020, and everything worked out. So it's been a wild ride, but it's been pretty cool.
Do you want to share which store it is?
Oh, well, yeah, it's Paper Source. And then I just sent out my first Barnes & Noble order, I think a couple weeks ago, since they had merged. So that's been really cool to be able to work with both stores and have more of a larger platform where my artwork is being seen.
Yeah, I am happy that they're talking to more independent brands. They've, you know, both of those stores, and now they're one essentially, have been big supporters of our community. Of course, that's not without its issues during the bankruptcy and all of that. But, you know, it's nice to see that they are getting back on track and again, placing orders with the smaller indie brands too. So I know you have a goal of hitting, is it 500 stores? Is that right?
Yeah, that would be my next goal. I think I'm a little over 400 now. So I think 500 would be
your next big goal. Okay. So let's talk through, what steps are you taking to get there to try to increase the number of stores you're working with?
Well, I mean, I've been doing trade shows, but then I've also kind of changed the way that I've been marketing to stores. So I have like a marketing packet, like an intro packet that I send out to stores with a sample, and researching new stores, but actually going into reaching out to stores that I wouldn't have thought to reach out to, like pet stores, book. Well, I do well in bookstores, so I do look at bookstores, but those just different stores that you wouldn't think of, like nurseries, florists, because usually you just think gift shop. But I'm changing my strategy and going more towards the niche market.
That's smart. One of my clients, their biggest niche specialty store is car washes, actually.
Oh, wow.
And they sell a ton to car washes, which was never really on their radar until they met someone at a trade show. And they didn't really take the buyer seriously at first because they were like, a car wash? Like, my stuff isn't really car wash material. But they were, of course, polite and professional and all of that. But in their head, they're thinking, really? Car wash? Okay. And it's been one of their best stores that reorders frequently in high volume. And so you never know, right? You never know what kind of specialty stores are going to.
Yeah, you never know. Even pet bakeries.
Oh, wow. Well, is that one? That's what you sell to? That's awesome. Okay. So you're doing this snail mail packaging. What else are you doing to kind of expand your reach, expand your visibility too?
Well, I've actually just started, I hired somebody to rebrand for me. Ooh. So I actually approved everything yesterday to get going. So I'm hoping that having a more cohesive brand and a more cohesive presence in the marketplace will give me a one up on the advantages of people wanting to buy with me. I think.
That's awesome. That's a big project to rebrand. So I think that's really wonderful. So I know you have a lot of connections and friends within the industry. You mentioned Joe from XOU, whom we love around here. I had worked with him one-on-one for a while too, after he did Paper Camp, I think. But how have you leaned on community to help you expand your business?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. So Joe and Sam from Near Modern Disaster, and Lisa from Rhino Parade. I have like a little group of people that I lean on, but whenever I have a question, I just send a message to them. And I meet Joe for like coffee sometimes when I go into the city. We have little meetings of, you know, what's going on in our business and what we could do to improve and that kind of stuff. So there's always somebody there that will help when I'm having trouble or just need to throw out a new idea. Even the Facebook group, if I'm thinking about something, I just throw it in there and somebody will respond. Like, absolutely. If I need an answer.
So you mentioned that attending Paper Camp was kind of a turning point in your business where you started to take wholesale more seriously. What was your favorite part about joining Paper Camp, if I can ask?
Well, having everything, I did the online version. So having everything all laid out for me with the worksheets and everything. And I still go back and reference that, all that stuff sometimes, just having everything there. And then the follow through with having the community after was huge, because I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know that I went to my first trade show. I was selling in sets of five. And you should be selling in sets of six, and then pricing. It was just all over the place. And after Paper Camp, it just felt like I had everything that I needed to move forward.
Well, and too, I hear from a lot of folks, and I know I felt this way too, that once you know those industry standards and you adjust your product line to meet those industry standards, when you have the sales tools in place, like a catalog that really is a sales tool and not just a lookbook, when you know how to reach out and do that connection to stores, we feel more confident and we show up in our business in a very different way. I know that when I jumped into trade shows blindly, like you were talking about, I was really winging it and I was truly faking it till I made it. But at the same time, once I had some of those concrete foundational pieces in place, I wasn't faking it anymore. I just then had this natural confidence of, no, I know what I'm talking about. I'm confident about my product line and my pricing and everything else. Did you feel that way too?
Yeah, I think obviously at the beginning, what I had no idea what I was doing, but now like I just exhibited in Atlanta and I had my pitch down. I had everything laid out on the wall, knowing like how buyers purchase by category and by season. I was definitely more confident when somebody walked into my booth. I could tell them about my brand and make them want to buy it.
Yeah.
So
we stand a little taller when we're feeling like we've got all the pieces in place, I would say. So for somebody listening, if they were thinking about joining Paper Camp, having been through that, having been through our other programs, what would you tell them?
I always refer people to Paper Camp. When anyone starts talking about, I'm thinking about designing greeting cards, my first response is join Paper Camp. even for people that have already done trade shows, maybe their first trade show, because I did my first trade show without knowing anything, just do it. Like, it's a really good investment. It's the best investment that I've made, especially because you get that community and make friends afterward.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're big on the educational piece, but we're also big on the connectivity, because there's so much we can do as a community to strengthen our industry. And so I will say too, for those listening, if you're not in the paper world, we are working with a lot more people that are outside of the paper realm now. My roots are in the stationery world, which is why we have so many stationery brands in our community. But we work with people that do apparel and home decor and bath and beauty and all these sorts of things too. So it's a program appropriate for anyone. But I appreciate you saying that, because community is truly at the heart of what we're doing. Well, Alyssa, I would love to hear what's coming up for you. What are you working on? Do you have new products or new things that are coming that you want to share with our audience?
Well, I'm definitely excited for my rebrand. It's just a refresh on the look of Gray Street. So I'm really excited to get going on that. And then I'll be at Noted in April. So that'll be my 6th trade show. So really excited about that.
Amazing.
I'm very excited to get some West Coast buyers. So
yeah. You've done New York a few times, you've done Atlanta, you're doing Noted. Is that correct? Did I miss any?
Yeah. New York, Atlanta, and Noted.
Talk to me so the audience can hear about how the buyers are so different at each of the shows. I always talk about this, but I don't think people truly understand that each of these shows really does bring in a different type of buyer, a different regional buyer. Do you want to?
Yeah. So each show is definitely really different. New York, people will are very straightforward. They'll come into your booth. They know what they want. And there I got mostly gift shops. And then Atlanta, people are more like, you invite them into your booth to come look around. They're more casual. And I actually got more like floral nurseries and bakeries down there. And then, so I'm excited this will be my first time on the West Coast doing Noted. So I'm excited to see, like, what is the buyer there?
Yeah, it does draw a lot of West Coast buyers. I think it's a wide range of both gift shops and some specialty shops as well. But we have a large contingency of our community exhibiting at Noted this year. So I'm excited to come. I'm going to come and I'll see y'all there. So,
oh, yay.
I know. But I think it's important for folks to hear that, like, each of these shows does have a different kind of personality in its own right. And that extends to those exhibiting, those buying, you know, just the vibe of the show too. So.
Yeah, definitely. I've been trying to, like, do different shows to see where my buyer responds to, like, where is my buyer and what do they respond to? So yeah.
Where do we sit into the market?
Yeah. So maybe trying out a Las Vegas show or a Pennsylvania show, like, and seeing where I fit in.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, let's tell everybody where they can find you online, to follow you on social and visit your website.
So it's Gray Street Paper on all my socials. It's Gray with an E, and then graystreetpaper.com.
Awesome. We will include those in the show notes so people can easily find you, Alyssa. I really appreciate your time today and your candor. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I really appreciate Alyssa sharing her story with us today. As someone that worked in corporate for over 20 years and had my identity wrapped up in the salary and the title and the climbing of the ladder, and then I made the jump to entrepreneurship, her story really resonated with me. I appreciated her message about working through those feelings of failure and how it could be so hard, but that it's also possible to come out better on the other side. So if you resonated with today's episode, please do share it on Instagram and tag Alyssa and I. We have included her social handles in the show notes so you can easily find her, and you can find me at Proof to Product. And if you're interested in learning more about whether or not wholesale is a good next step for your business, be sure to sign up for my Is Wholesale Right For You private podcast. You can gain access to this free on-demand audio series by going to proofedtoproduct.com/privatepod. It's a 12-part audio series. You can binge it in an hour, and it's really a great primer for anyone who's considering whether or not wholesale is a good next step for their business. So again, that's proofedtoproduct.com/privatepod. Thank you for listening until the end. I will be back with a new episode next week.